Good morning, precious people of a precious God. Let's close our eyes and let's just ask the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit to do His work so that His name will be glorified among His children. Oh Lord Jesus, this morning we come in humble submission to the complete work of Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that as we take this gentle step into your Holy of Holies, as we open your word, as we contemplate your work, may your name be glorified in our midst. May you touch every heart and transform us, Lord. Transform us so that we can glorify you, Lord, more and more through our everyday walk. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to start by reading a scripture from Colossians 2 verse 15. It's a scripture that knocked me so hard, and I carried this for so long. And it's such a privilege to come and share this with you this morning. It's like something so precious that I just want to share with you guys. Let's read it. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Guys, let's just stand for a moment still and think about the word public spectacle. Think with me about Christ upon that cross. We all have a picture, we've seen a movie, we've seen that. But that is nothing compared to what Christ have gone through. It's a bloody mess. He's naked. He's absolutely ashamed and humiliated. The Romans made crucifixion as the public spectacle. They made the crucifixion for the purpose to make a statement, to say, we're making this public spectacle for the purpose of, don't follow, don't do this. Don't follow in his footsteps. This is what's going to happen to you if you follow in his footsteps. It's to make a show, a great show of disgrace. It's shock therapy. You know that the whole thing about shock value? The whole purpose is shock value. And now we need to just come back and read the scripture again. Did we read it correctly? Let's just read it again. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he, Jesus Christ, made a public spectacle of them. Hello? Hello? Did anybody just read what I read? What is happening here? Christ on the cross is the public spectacle from the eyes of flesh, from the eyes of the physical understanding. Yet when we read the scriptures, It's completely something else. Do you see how specific Paul used these sentences, these wordings? Why did he use the term public spectacle? He could have used anything else. He could have said, Christ crushed the devil on the cross, triumphing over him. But here he comes and he uses the term a public spectacle. Guys, I want that term to be burnt into your thoughts. And we need to ponder this. Why such specific vocabulary? Why did he go and use the term public spectacle? It's a contrast between the physical and a completely different thing in the spiritual. And we need to learn something here. Something so precious. This thing is not new to the Bible. I'm going to take you back to the day when mankind lost its authority. The day when Adam and Eve was just gently strolling through the garden. Eve was standing a little bit to that side and she was contemplating and, hello, here's the serpent. Hello, Eve. Tell me, what did God tell you about the tree in the middle of the garden? Oh, no, we may not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. Oh, really? What then? No, when we eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, we shall surely die. God said, you shall surely die. Oh, really? No, Eve. You will not surely die. Eve, you will not surely die. And I think that was day one. Up until day 21. I really think it was a persistent onslaught. It was not just one day, but anyways, the Bible doesn't specify that. It's just my opinion. But the point of the matter is, when they ate of that fruit, did Eve die? Yes or no? No, she didn't die in the flesh, but in the spirit she died. They lost it all. They lost their position with God. They lost their authority. That connection they had with God was completely broken. So again, you have the picture of the flesh. You will not surely die, Satan speaks. God says you will surely die. So we need to understand, God is a God of spirit. And His ways, when we read the Bible, we need to understand this glorious difference. Now, I'm just going to take you a few verses down. There's a verse 17. And listen closely. It says, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. Here it comes. The reality. What is the reality? It's almost like, what is right and what is wrong? What should we believe? And we're conflicted in our flesh. And what is spirit? And so much. Look at the simplicity of the word. The reality, however, is found in Christ. When you're confronted with so much things coming at you, just remember that. The reality is found in Christ. Glory be to His name. The reality is found in Christ. I was pondering this thing about Christ upon that cross. And the powers and authorities wanted, to make a public spectacle of Jesus Christ. They wanted to do it. They wanted to set an example for a religious fanatic. They wanted to make the worst of the worst of the worst. That was their aim. That was the very purpose of that. But something much deeper, something much stronger, was at work here. Read with me the verse 1 Corinthians 2 verse 8. We're talking about the powers and authorities. Rulers, physical, as well as rulers and authorities, spiritual. Look at what verse 1 Corinthians 2 verse 8 says. None of the rulers of this age, spiritual and physical, understood it. For if they had, listen closely, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So somewhere something switched. They said, okay, this is how we're going to deal with Jesus Christ. We're going to finish him off on the most gruesome way that we can possibly can. And something happened on that cross that flipped the whole thing around. Now we can just speculate, but I want to share with you what came up in my heart when I was pondering this for days. So imagine with me Christ upon that cross, completely and utterly exposed, completely and utterly vulnerable. There's not a shred of any protection. Completely exposed. And it's almost like the devil and all his angels, where God said, there you have him. There you have him. Do with him what you like. Give him your best shot. Bring your weapons. Bring your atom bombs. Bring your tanks. Bring your bazookas. Bring everything you have. And let him have it. Let him have it. Let's see what you can do. And believe you me, all the powers of darkness and hell was released on Christ. They gave him everything they could. They pulled from every bit, every darkest little corner, everywhere they pulled all they had. And they threw it on him. Just to stand back in shock and horror and realize they have nothing on him. They have nothing on him. And one by one, each weapon they drew out, which they know works so effective on man, because they have years and years and years of experience. This one will work on him. This one will work on him. This one will work on him. He disarmed powers and authorities. One by one weapon, he disarmed them. Disarmed them. Disarmed them. Oh, that weapon doesn't work. No, let's just try. Oh, that one doesn't work as well. Having disarmed powers and authorities upon that cross, Children of God, think with me. Every single weapon, every single little needle, every single little demonic plan, anything that the devil can cook up to do something with you, disarmed. It's taken out of play. Did you hear what I say, church? It's taken out of play. When he has disarmed them, he has completely taken it out of play. And thereafter, when God stood back and said, "Are you done now? Are you done? Go back to where you belong. You just lost all your authority. That which you took from Adam and Eve, you just lost it. Because now the man is here and he took it all from you. So stand back. Get out of my face. You're done here." And now, the fullness of the wrath of God the Father, the fullness of sin, came upon Jesus Christ. You know what? Jesus Christ was not afraid for the attacks of the devil. He didn't flinch. He's a warrior. And he knew that onslaught will come. But when he was asking the Father, he said, "Please, Lord, take this cup. Please, Father, take this cup away from me," was the wrath, the fullness of the penalty of sin, the separation from him, himself, God the Father. And it came upon him. And he took it all. He took it all. And he finished. And he said, "It is finished." Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm reading that scripture again. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, Jesus Christ made a public spectacle of them. Where they were in control of destroying the lives of people, now they followed in procession behind him as his slaves. Upon that cross, finish them all. So when he says it's complete, it's complete. Nothing was left. No hidden thingy, no secret thing. It is all taken care of. So I want to just pause for a moment and say, how do we think about this public spectacle and the spiritual reality in our lives? How do we apply it practically? I've seen in my own life, the moment there's a public spectacle, the moment there's somebody else that makes a big scene about it, for the purpose of almost humiliating or disgracing or doing something, then you must pause for a moment and just think, what is happening here? Because that's the devil's way. What is our response? And just to sort of put it in context, I've gone through some public humiliation a few times. And each time the response that I get from God for help silent dependence upon the Father. And it's hard. Because believe you me, sometimes I feel like I want to do the temple table flipping, Lord. I want to do that part. But he didn't give me ever permission to do that. So the first thing is, try and identify. The moment you see something like that, almost be reminded, upon there's a physical picture, there's a physical reality, you're in your face, things are really messy, things doesn't even look right. Things looks the opposite. It looks like defeat. It looks like a disaster. It looks like things are going belly up. Yet, when we consider spiritual reality, it's completely different. Completely the opposite. And I want us almost to think about, this war that's currently on the edge. And we must almost get to that point to say, Lord, may we draw in to that deep dependence upon you. May we find peace in the storm. Because he guarantees it. He guarantees peace in the storm. Your life cannot be guaranteed. Sorry. It's not to say that you're going to step alive out of it. Your security is not going to be guaranteed. Okay? But one thing he guarantees, church, is he's with you. And his peace is with you. Guaranteed. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. The second thing that I just want you to, the second key, is there's a spiritual reality and there's a physical reality. A reality is a reality. It's what you see, it's what you feel, it's what you touch. But the spiritual reality is sometimes very hard for us to understand or contemplate or figure out. But here's the thing, guys. We don't have to be experts in the spiritual things. What is happening here? Do we need to understand? The simplicity of the word and your trust in Jesus is enough. I can go so deep into trying to understand spiritual matters and so, and each time I get the same answer. Trust me. Trust me. When those people were standing next to Christ upon that cross, they had the warnings. They had Christ speaking to them. So to somehow they were without excuse, because he warned them so many times. Guys, I'm going to get crucified. How simple do you want me to explain this to you? Okay. But still they looked upon it and but you know what? They just held on. They just held on. And that's what I want to encourage you, church. Just hold on. He has the victory. Now, what now? And I want to give you, I'm going to read the last few scriptures. It's almost like so practical. So, so practical. It's almost, God, what do you want me to do? Now that I have this view of Jesus Christ and what he has done for me, what is my response? And this Colossians chapter 3 is just so full of practicality. So from verse 1 to 17, I'm going to read it to you. And it brings it so in perfection, because I was asking God, say, okay, help me to put this into practice. Help me to make it real. And here it is. It's so simple. Look here, it says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. I don't know how, about you, but I don't know how it looks in heaven. And I don't think we should be thinking how my house looks in heaven. Okay? Is it going to be the purple chair? Is it going to be a green chair? It's like, that's not where you should be thinking. So it brings back Christ's victory, and it brings it into this reality and say, where Christ is. So it's almost put your mind on Christ. Build your relationship with Him, and your mind will be set on things that are above. Set your minds on things that are above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That space, what Christ opened, broken open, each individual have its space there. I can't take Kuz's space. Kuz has got his own unique space. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Now that is something to ponder upon. We should really think at just, wow, this is something that I can look forward to. Put to death. Now it comes really practical. Really, really practical in our lives. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. God is well aware. Listen, you don't have it all figured out. You're not this perfect children. You're in a process. So there you are. Put to death, therefore, what's to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust. Oh no, children of God doesn't do that. No, no. No. No, it's real. Put to death this thing. Practical. Guys, if you want to think upon Christ, put to death these things. Impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Not necessarily on the children of God. Because the wrath of God cannot come on the children of God. Because Christ took the wrath of God. But the wrath of God is coming upon these things. So don't partake in these things. Don't waste your thinking energy. Don't waste your time that you can actually spend with Christ on useless things. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. It's the familiar ways. It's your patterns. That's it. But now you must also rid yourselves also of these things, as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices, and having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all. That glorious work that He did on the Christ, on the cross, and it's like Reineke said this morning, it's for everyone. Doesn't matter how you got there. No one is excluded. He used the term the great equalizer. And I thought about that. And it's really, it doesn't matter if you knew Christ from your childhood, or you're just at the bottom of the brokenness. Therefore, As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Peace of Christ. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message, and we heard this, we sang it this morning, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through you. We serve a precious God. A precious, precious God. And He made provision, and He did the work complete. So in this morning, church, we can really, really rest in His complete work. And we can think upon so many, I mean that prayer request that was on previously, so many guys that are striving to get the something from God. Oh, can we just be good enough? Can we just be good enough? And here Christ just says, listen, I've done it all. Rest in me. Find peace in me. And you will go through this earth in the most enjoyable way that you can. Because I've created you for joy. I didn't create you for misery, to be miserable. I created you for joy. But it's in me. And this whole, also the focus of the young children of our church is to share this beauty, this thing that Christ has done. Sometimes we think it's such a big thing. But the moment our hearts are before God and we just have the sincerity, Lord, I'm just here. I'm just here, and may you do your wondrous work. And you take that small step, God does the rest. So let's trust Him. Let's trust Him in this week. Because He is trustworthy. Let's close. Lord Jesus, we can just but begin to fathom what you have done, what you've taken on our behalf. But Lord, this morning, we are grateful with you, Lord, that it is done, that it is behind you, Lord, that we, as we sing this morning, every tongue in heaven and earth shall confess that you are Lord. Every knee shall bow, Lord, and we are carriers of this great truth, but at the same time, this great mystery. And Lord, we ask your help. We ask your help, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, that we will walk worthy of that which you have placed in us. Be glorified in your children's lives, Lord. Everyone seated here this morning. Lord, may your glory be manifest through their lives. Whether it's in silent dependence, whether it's in a great miracle that has happened, doesn't matter, Lord, but that your name will be glorified. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you out of the bottom of our heart that you're such a great and wonderful God. Pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ.